We're continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. The Gryffindor common room was always very crowded these days, because from 6 o'clock onward, the Gryffindors had nowhere else to go. They had plenty to talk about, with the result that the common room often didn't empty until past midnight. Harry went to get the invisibility cloak out of his trunk right after dinner, and spent the evening sitting on it, waiting for the room to clear. Fred and George challenged Harry and Ron to a few games of exploding snap, and Ginny sat watching them, very subdued, in Hermione's usual chair. Harry and Ron kept losing on purpose, trying to finish the games quickly, but even so, it was well past midnight when Fred, George, and Ginny finally went to bed. Harry and Ron waited for the distant sounds of two dormitory doors closing before seizing the cloak, throwing it over themselves, and climbing through the portrait hole. It was another difficult journey through the castle, dodging all the teachers. At last, they reached the entrance hall, slid back the lock on the oak front doors, squeezed between them, trying to stop any creaking, and stepped out into the moonlit grounds. "Of course," said Ron abruptly, as they strode across the black grass. "We might get to the forest and find there's nothing to follow. The spiders might not have been going there at all. I know it looked like they were moving that general sort of direction, but..." His voice trailed away hopefully. They reached Hagrid's house, sad and sorry looking with its black blank windows. When Harry pushed the door open, Fang went mad with joy at the sight of them. Worried that he might wake everyone in the castle with his deep booming barks, they hastily fed him treacle toffee from a tin on the mantelpiece, which glued his teeth together. Harry left the invisibility cloak on Hagrid's table. There would be no need for it in the pitch-dark forest. "Come on, Fang, we're going for a walk," said Harry, patting his leg, and Fang bounded happily out of the house behind them, and then dashed to the edge of the forest and lifted his leg against a large sycamore tree. Harry took out his wand, murmured "Lumos," and a tiny white appeared at the end of it, just enough to let them watch the path for sign of spiders. "Good thinking," said Ron. "I'd light mine, too, but, you know, it'd probably blow up or something." Harry tapped Ron on the shoulder, pointing at the grass. Two solitary spiders were hurrying away from the wand light in the shade of the trees. "Okay," said Ron, as though resigned to the worst. "I'm ready. Let's go." So, with Fang scampering around them, sniffing tree roots and leaves, they entered the forest. By the glow of Harry's wand, they followed the steady trickle of spiders moving along the path. They walked behind them for about 20 minutes, not speaking, listening hard for noises other than breaking twigs and rustling leaves. Then, when the trees had become thicker than ever, so that the stars overhead were no longer visible, and Harry's wand shone alone in the sea of dark, they saw their spider guides leaving the path. Harry paused, trying to see where the spiders were going, but everything outside his little sphere of light was pitch black. He had never been this deep in the forest before. He could vividly remember Hagrid advising him not to leave the forest path last time he'd been in here. But Hagrid was miles away, probably sitting in a cell in Azkaban, and he had also said to follow the spiders. Something wet touched Harry's hand, and he jumped backward, crushing Ron's foot, but it was only Fang's nose. "What do you reckon?" Harry said to Ron, whose eyes he could just make out, reflecting the light from his wand. "We've come this far," said Ron. So they followed the darting shadows of the spiders into the trees. They couldn't move very quickly now. There were tree roots and stumps in their way, barely visible in the near blackness. Harry could feel Fang's hot breath on his hand. More than once they had to stop so that Harry could crouch down and find the spiders in the wand light. They walked for what seemed like a half an hour, their robes snagging on low-slung branches and brambles. After a while, they noticed that the ground seemed to be sloping downward, though the trees were as thick as ever. Then Fang suddenly let out a great echoing bark, making both Harry and Ron jump out of their skins. "What?" said Ron loudly, looking around at the pitch dark and gripping Harry's elbow very hard. "There's something moving over there," Harry breathed. "Listen, something that sounds big." They listened. Some distance off to their right, the something big was snapping branches as it carved a path through the trees. "Oh, no," said Ron. "Oh, no, oh, no." "Shut up," Harry said frantically. "It'll hear you." "Hear me," said Ron in an unnaturally high voice. "It's already heard Fang." The darkness seemed to be pressing on their eyeballs as they stood, terrified, waiting. There was a strange rumbling noise and then silence. "What do you think it's doing?" said Harry. "Probably getting ready to pounce," said Ron. They shivered, waited, hardly daring to move. "You think it's gone?" Harry whispered. "Dunno." Then, to their right, came a sudden blaze of light, so bright in the darkness that both of them flung their hands to shield their eyes. Fang yelped and tried to run, but got lodged in a tangle of thorns and yelped even louder. "Harry," Ron shouted, his voice breaking with relief. "Harry, it's our car." "What? Come on." Harry blundered after Ron toward the light, stumbling and tripping, and a moment later they had emerged into a clearing. Mr. Weasley's car was standing, empty, in the middle of the circle of thick trees under a roof of dense branches, its headlights ablaze. As Ron walked, open-mouthed, toward it, it moved slowly toward him, exactly like a large turquoise dog greeting its owner. "It's been here all the time," said Ron delightedly, walking around the car. "Look at it. The forest's turned it wild." The sides of the car were scratched and smeared with mud. Apparently, it had taken to trundling around the forest on its own. Fang didn't seem at all keen on it. He kept close to Harry, who could feel him quivering. His breathing slowed down again. Harry stuffed his wand back into his robes. "And I thought it was going to attack us," said Ron, leaning against the car and patting it. I'd wondered where it had gone. Harry squinted around the floodlit ground for signs of more spiders, but they had all scuttled away from the glare of the headlights. "We've lost the trail," he said. "Come on, let's go and find them." Ron didn't speak. He didn't move. His eyes were fixed on a point some 10 feet from the forest floor, right behind Harry. His face was livid with terror. Harry didn't even have time to turn around. There was a loud clicking noise, and suddenly he felt something long and hairy seize him around the middle and lift him off the ground so that he was hanging face down. Struggling, terrified, he heard more clicking and saw Ron's legs leave the ground too, heard Fang whimpering and howling. The next moment he was being swept away into the dark trees. Head hanging, Harry saw that what held him was marching on 6 immensely long hairy legs, the front 2 clutching him tightly between a pair of shining black pincers. Behind him he could hear another of the creatures, no doubt carrying Ron. They were moving into the very heart of the forest. Harry could hear Fang fighting to free himself from a third monster, whining loudly, but Harry couldn't have yelled even if he had wanted to. He seemed to have left his voice back in the car in the clearing. He never knew how long he was in the creature's clutches. He only knew that darkness suddenly lifted enough for him to see that the leaf-strewn ground was now swarming with spiders. Craning his neck sideways, he realized they had reached the ridge of a vast hollow, a hollow that had been cleared of trees so that stars shone brightly onto the worst scene he had ever laid eyes on. Spiders. Not tiny spiders, like those surging over the leaves below. Spiders the size of cart horses, eight-eyed, eight-legged, black, hairy, gigantic. The massive specimen that was carrying Harry made its way down the steep slope toward a misty domed web, the very center of the hollow, while its fellows closed in all around it, clicking their pincers excitedly at the sight of its load. Harry fell to the ground on all fours as the spider released him. Fang and Ron thudded down next to him. Fang wasn't howling anymore, but cowering silently on the spot. Ron looked exactly like Harry felt. His mouth was stretched wide in a kind of silent scream, and his eyes were popping. Harry suddenly realized the spider that had dropped him was saying something. It had been hard to tell because he clicked his pincers with every word he spoke. "Aragog," it called. "Aragog." And from the middle of the misty domed web, a spider the size of a small elephant emerged, very slowly. They were as gray in the black of his body and legs, and each of his eyes, an ugly pincered head, was milky white. He was blind. "What is it?" he said, clicking his pincers rapidly. "Men," clicked the spider who had caught Harry. Is it Hagrid? Said Aragog, moving closer, his 8 milky eyes wandering vaguely. Strangers, clicked the spider who had brought Ron. Kill them, said Aragog fretfully. I was sleeping. We're friends of Hagrid's, Harry shouted. His heart seemed to have left his chest to pound in his throat. Click, 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 went the pincers of the spiders all around the hollow. Aragog paused. Hagrid has never sent men into our hollow before, he said slowly. Hagrid's in trouble, said Harry, breathing very fast. That's why we've come. In trouble, said the aged spider, and Harry thought he heard concern beneath the clicking pincers. But why has he sent you? Harry thought of getting to his feet, but decided against it. He didn't think his legs would support him. So he spoke from the ground as calmly as I could. They think, up at the school, that Hagrid's been setting up something on the students. They've taken him to Azkaban. Aragog clicked his pincers furiously all around the hollow. The sound was echoed by this crowd of spiders. It was like applause, except applause didn't usually make Harry feel sick with fear. But that was years ago, said Aragog fretfully. Years and years ago. I remember it well. That's why they made him leave the school. They believed that I was the monster that dwells in what they call the Chamber of Secrets. They thought that Hagrid had opened the chamber and set me free. And you didn't come from the Chamber of Secrets? Said Harry, who could feel cold sweat on his forehead. I, said Aragog, clicking angrily, I was not born in the castle. I come from a distant land. A traveler gave me to Hagrid when I was an egg. Hagrid was only a boy, but he cared for me, hidden in a cupboard in the castle, feeding me on scraps from the table. Hagrid is my good friend and a good man. When I was discovered and blamed for the death of the girl, he protected me. I have lived here in the forest ever since, where Hagrid still visits me. He has even found me a wife, Mossag, and you see how our family has grown, all through Hagrid's goodness. Harry summoned what had remained of his courage. So, you never attacked anyone? Never, croaked the old spider. It would have been my instinct, but out of respect for Hagrid, I never harmed a human. The body of the girl that was killed was discovered in a bathroom. I never saw any part of the castle but the cupboard in which I grew up. Our kind like the dark and the quiet. But then, do you know what did kill that girl? Said Harry. Because whatever it is, it's back and attacking people again. His words were drowned by a loud outbreak of clicking and rustling, of many long legs shifting angrily. Large black shapes shifted all around him. The thing that lives in the castle, said Aragog, is an ancient creature we spiders fear above all others. Well do I remember how I pleaded with Hagrid to let me go when I sensed the beast moving about the school. What is it? Harry said urgently. More loud clicking, more rustling. The spiders seemed to be closing in. We do not speak of it, said Aragog fiercely. We do not name it. I never even told Hagrid the name of that dread creature, though he asked me many times. Harry didn't want to press the subject, not with the spiders pressing closer on all sides. Aragog seemed to be tired of talking. He was backing slowly in his domed web, but his fellow spiders continued to inch slowly toward Harry and Ron. We'll just go, then, Harry called desperately to Aragog, hearing leaves rustling. Go, said Aragog slowly. I think not. But... My sons and daughters do not harm Hagrid on my command, but I cannot deny them fresh meat when it wanders so willingly into our midst. Goodbye, friend of Hagrid. Harry spun around. Feet away, towering above him, was a wall of spiders, clicking, their many eyes gleaming in their ugly black heads. Even as he reached for his wand, Harry knew it was no good. There were too many of them, and as he tried to stand, ready to die fighting, a loud, long note sounded, and a blaze of light flamed through the hollow. Mr. Weasley's car was thundering down the slope, headlights glaring, its horn screeching, knocking spiders aside. Several were thrown on their backs, their endless legs waving in the air. The car screeched to a halt in front of Harry and Ron, and the doors flew open. Get Fang, Harry yelled, diving into the front seat. Ron yelled, seized the boarhound around the middle and threw him, yelping, into the back of the car. The doors slammed shut. Ron didn't touch the accelerator, but the car didn't need him to. The engine roared and they were off, hitting more spiders. They sped up the slope, out of the hollow, and were soon crashing through the forest, branches whipping through the windows, as the car wound its way cleverly through the widest gaps, following a path it obviously knew. Harry looked sideways at Ron. His mouth was still open in the silent scream, but his eyes weren't popping anymore. "Are you okay?" Ron stared straight ahead, unable to speak. They smashed their way through the undergrowth, Fang howling in the back seat, and Harry saw the side mirror snap off as they squeezed past a large oak. After 10 noisy, rocky minutes, the trees thinned, and Harry again could see patches of sky. The car stopped so suddenly they were nearly thrown into the windshield. They had reached the edge of the forest. Fang flung himself at the window in his anxiety to get out, and when Harry opened the door, he shot off through the trees to Hagrid's house, tail between his legs. Harry got out too, and after a minute or so, Ron seemed to regain the feeling in his limbs and followed, still stiff-necked and staring. Harry gave the car a grateful pat as it reversed back into the forest and disappeared from view. Harry went back into Hagrid's cabin to get the invisibility cloak. Fang was trembling under a blanket in his basket. When Harry got outside again, he found Ron being violently sick in the pumpkin patch. "Follow the spiders," said Ron weakly, wiping his mouth on his sleeve. "I'll never forgive Hagrid. We're lucky to be alive." "I bet he thought Aragog wouldn't hurt friends of his," said Harry. "That's exactly Hagrid's problem," said Ron, thumping the wall of the cabin. "He always thinks monsters aren't as bad as they're made out. And look where it's got him, Salan Azkaban." He was shivering uncontrollably now. "What was the point of sending us in the air? What have we found out, I'd like to know?" "That Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets," said Harry, throwing the cloak over Ron and prodding him in the arm to make him walk. "He was innocent." Ron gave a loud snort. Evidently, hatching Aragog in a cupboard wasn't his idea of being innocent. As the castle loomed nearer, Harry twitched the cloak to make sure their feet were hidden, then pushed the creaking front doors ajar. They walked carefully back across the entrance hall and up the marble staircase, holding their breath as they passed the corridors where watchful sentries were walking. At last, they reached the safety of the Gryffindor common room, where the fire had burned itself into glowing ash. They took off the cloak and climbed the winding stair to their dormitory. Ron fell on his bed without bothering to get undressed. Harry, however, didn't feel very sleepy. He sat on the edge of his four-poster, thinking hard about everything Aragog had said. The creature that was lurking somewhere in the castle, he thought, sounded like a sort of monster Voldemort. Even other monsters didn't want to name it. But he and Ron were no closer to finding out what it was or how it petrified its victims. Even Hagrid had never known what was in the Chamber of Secrets. Harry swung his legs up onto his bed and leaned back against his pillows, watching the moon glinting at him through the tower window. He couldn't see what else they could do. They had hit their dead ends everywhere. Riddle had caught the wrong person, the heir of Slytherin had got off, and no one could tell whether it was the same person or a different one who had opened the chamber this time. There was nobody else to ask. Harry lay down, still thinking about what Aragog had said. He was becoming drowsy when what seemed like their very last hope occurred to him, and he sat bolt upright. "Ron," he hissed through the dark. "Ron." Ron woke with a yelp like Fang's, stared wildly around, and saw Harry. "Ron, that girl who died. Aragog said she was found in a bathroom," said Harry, ignoring Neville's snuffling snores from that corner. "What if she never left the bathroom? What if she's still there?" Ron rubbed his eyes, frowning through the moonlight, and then he understood it too. "You don't think, not Moaning Myrtle?" And that's the end of chapter 15. Next we'll read chapter 16, called The Chamber of Secrets. And I hope you liked that beautiful kitten. Sleep well. I love you.